I'm trying to observe our youth. You know, I don't want to have a youth that are just excited and a hyper, because that's the youth. You just give them some ice cream and they'll be doing that. But I want them to know God, right? To know God, to be aware of God and who He is and what it means to have God in your life. That's what we want with our youth. And the best teacher of that is not me, although I have a big part of it. The best teacher of that is you. The way they see your life, how you consider God in your life. Amen? It is the way we live as parents. You know, my kids, I don't tell them to become pastors or anything. I don't even tell them to believe in God of course I tell them, but I don't force them or coerce them because it's not going to do them any good. But you just have to show them the way we live, that God is the most important in our lives. That will make a difference with our youth. And as a church, that is our obligation. You know, this morning I will continue my study in the book of Joshua. Last week we covered chapter 3. And I told you that chapter 3 and chapter 4 cover the same story. It's the same story. I think there are very few pastors who will preach them separately. But I choose to preach them separately because they have two different themes or different points. So it's all in order for us to go on chapter 4, which is the one we're studying this morning. Let's have a very quick review of what it happens in chapter 3. You know, after leaving Egypt, you know, if you watch the Ten Commandments, after leaving Egypt and wandering in the desert for 40 years, God finally brought Israel to the promised land. He brought them to the promised land on the east side of Jordan. They were there, they were camping there, and they were looking on the other side of the Jordan. And the side of the Jordan is very tricky. Sometimes, you know, it's just like a river. There's part that is very short. There's part that is very wide. There's part that you can cross. There's part that you cannot cross. They were looking at the river that morning. And that's during the spring season, I believe. And it's very flooded. You can still cross. You can maybe pick. Remember, during that time, Joshua sent two spies. Remember? They crossed the river and then came back. So there's place that you can cross. But there are place that would have been impossible for a person to cross. And God brought them probably to the place that is very impossible to cross, very flooded, and very dangerous. And the water is very rapid. And probably when the Israel was there, they were thinking, oh God, just make us see the promised land right across to the river. And then we'll wait until a few more weeks when the water comes down. God will tell us to cross and the promised land is ours. But that's not what God is planning. God is planning to perform a miracle to prove to them that, well, even as they cross the promised land, God will insist to be with them, right? He will insist to be with them, even though the Israel maybe feel like, we don't need God. We're here on the promised land. Thank you, God. No, God said, I will be with you. God says, I will be with you, and you have to follow me and obey me in order for you to conquer and claim the promised land. And that's very important. So let's just go back very quickly on chapter 3. I picked some verses just to show you what happened. So Joshua, in chapter 3, verse 9 to 10 and 14 and 17, so Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today, you will know that the living God is among you. I mean, they know that every day. But Joshua is trying to put an emphasis. God will do something for you to understand that He doesn't want to leave you alone. Amen? Isn't it exciting? I mean, how many times did we try God to leave us alone? You know, just like the way we tell that to our parents, right? Even as parents when we were kids, right? We don't want our parents there all the time. We just want them when we're in trouble or when we have flu or we have fever. Oh, mommy, can you make me soup? But when we're okay, we don't want our parents there most of the time because we want to do our own thing, right? Today, you will know that the living God is among you. So the people left their camp and crossed the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water of the river's edge, the water above that point, the upstream, where the water are coming from, the water stopped, right? From the point, the upstream, back, and the water from that point, the downstream, start getting down. So the water, something stopped the water, maybe a few miles from where they are, until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. The priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation, some people say there may be hundreds of thousands of them, some people estimated that maybe there's even a million of them by that time, because it was 40 years when they left Egypt. Until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. That practically miles of Jordan River dried out. Okay, I know we have those little pictures in our Sunday school, you know, 5 feet opening. That's not true. It's a big one, and there's like thousands and thousands of them. Okay, so God performed a miracle that morning to remind the people that God is with them and God can take care of them. Amen. And that's the point. God wants them to understand that. And the way God performed the miracles, if you study the story, Israel doesn't have to do anything. And what is about to happen is something that only God can do. But the only obligation of Israelites is to obey and trust God. Amen. That's the only thing. Don't you know that trust and obey cannot be separated? Can't. Because the only way you will truly obey God is if you trust Him. Right? You can. When you trust Him, you obey Him. You can obey Him when the risk is not that much. But the only way you can really obey God is when you trust Him. So, this is the true definition. God is always with us, and we must completely trust and obey Him. This is the true definition of a genuine Christian. You know, a lot of people say, how do you define a genuine Christian? Well, a genuine Christian in this passage is the one who completely trusts and obey God. And that person is always aware that God is with him all the time, right? You know, God is with you all the time. All the time. I know sometimes we say it as a cliche, but we must live and act as if like God is with us all the time. Even this morning, right? God is here. And God, like, remember I told you, God, when God deals with us, He deals with us personally. If you come to this church this morning and you're expecting to meet God and hear from Him, you expect God to touch you and change you, you will not be disappointed. Right? Because God will never disappoint. The Bible said, if you seek me, and seek me with all your heart, then you will find me. You are here this morning. Doesn't matter what you need. You just need a breath of fresh air, you know. Or you just need something, a comfort. You just need somebody to give you a peace, a consolation, something that will remind you that everything will be okay. That's all you need. God can provide that. Maybe through His Spirit and through the brothers and sisters that are here this morning. But if you come to church and you expect something from God, you will not be disappointed. God never disappoints anybody. He can sustain what we're looking for more than what we can expect. Because He is God. And He can do everything He knows us more than we know ourselves. I like that song. You know, I wish my brother Ronald is here this morning, because yesterday was his birthday and today he's in there in Las Vegas. I think that's the only thing. Oh, we really like Las Vegas. That's their favorite vacation. I don't want to say it, but I don't like Las Vegas. I don't want to say it also. I think it's a cheap tourist spot. You know, it's like, oh yeah, so look, yeah, there's New York, there's Paris. They're not true. And you go to the building, all the building is just trying to entice you to go gambling. I don't like Las Vegas, but they like it. So hey, you go enjoy yourself. Have fun. But next week he's going to have a surgery. And I can tell, few months before you heard that surgery, I can tell he's getting, don't tell them I told you. I can tell it's causing him some kind of stress and depress. Anxiety, I can tell. But I believe God can take care and comfort His children. It's a matter of us acknowledging and truly live out to what we confess and believe it with all our heart. And it doesn't matter who you are, God will always put you to a place where you have to make a choice whether you will trust God or do your own thing. God is not going to do that because He doesn't know what you will do. He always knows. He did not ask Abraham to offer his son because God is testing him if he is faithful or not. Of course, in our perspective, God is testing him, but God knows what He's going to do. And God knows what you're going to do. Sometimes God put us in that corner so that we can really know for ourselves that we love God and we trusted Him. Amen. And it's about time for us Christians to live out to what we confess. And we have to show it to the people. You have to show it to the people, especially to our children, how God can make a difference in our life and it can uphold us even when we think everything is falling apart. And that is the message that God is trying to cross Israel, to tell the Israel that I am here with you and I am powerful enough to make the things that nobody else can do. I can make you cross the powerful river and make it a dry ground right in front of you in any moment you need to. So we go on to chapter 4. Chapter 4 is a whole chapter. So in order for me to save time, it's very simple. Very simple message. In order for us to save time, I edited the version. Chapter 4, I edited the version from NLT. You can read the whole story if you want to. And the way the Old Testament sometimes writes story, and you will be confused sometimes, especially in Genesis, it's kind of weird because it's almost like me telling you my trip to the Philippines. You know, I went to the Philippines, and when we arrived there, we arrived in Metro Manila, and then we went to Palawan, and we went to Cebu, and whoa, we are so excited until we came back home. But then the story is not done. And you know what? When we leave San Diego, we took our airplane from Los Angeles Airport. You know, so it's kind of the story will kind of start, it kind of will finish it, and then it will go back and go to another point, and then it will go back, go to another point. Unless you don't know how to read the way they were writing, you will be confused. That's why in the book of Genesis, it's like God created the world three times. Because it always, God created the man and the woman. It's like He created them again. It's like it's repeating itself. But that's how it is. So I write the story where you can tell what's going on and then kind of understand what is the theme of the story. So we will read it very quickly because it's a long one. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, continuing of the story, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. And that will be in Gilgal. You won't say it here. Later. we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord covenant went across. No, the Ark of the Covenant, that's just a simple box. It's not an idol. It's not an image of God. There's no God there. It only symbolizes and reminds Israel that God is with them. That's the Ark. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are there to this day. Of course, maybe sometimes when you go there, you won't see that pile of stone. But when the river is low, then you can see that pile of memorial in the middle of the river. People will wonder, hey, who made that? And then that's a chance for them to tell them about the story of what happened to Jordan. So I will skip about these warriors because these are the three tribes who already got their land and then they went ahead. That's another context on the story. So I will skip to verse 14 and says, that day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites, and for the rest of his life they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. Now you notice how the story go on to the life of Joshua and finish until he died. Almost. And then it will go back to where it pick up. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stone taken from the Jordan River. So if you go to Gilgal, you will see that monument. 12 stone, big stone, okay, that was set up there. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea, when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. There's an essence there that God is trying to tell them that he never changed. If God can take care of his people, their parents crossing the Red Sea 40 years ago, God can take care of them today. And it's the same thing, the message for us this morning. When we read the story of the Old Testament, yes, they are ancient. Yes, they are old stories. But they're still applicable to our life today because God never changed, right? We change, but God never does. He can do and he will react to us the same way he has done for many generations. He did this so that all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now my message this morning is very simple. Actually, I'm done with the message. And now I'm going to go to the implication of the message. Do not forget. Now if you're reading carefully, even at once, you don't have to repeat it over and over again. All you have to do is repeat it. You can tell this story was written to tell us how God and Joshua, okay? Maybe you can say that because there is no command on Joshua to set up the monument in the middle of the river, right? There's no command there. All God commanded him is carry the stone and make a monument in Gilgal. But Joshua, some people say, oh, God told him, he just didn't record it. Probably he decided to also build one right in the middle of the Jordan River. So God and Joshua made sure that what happened in the Jordan River that day will be remembered for a long time by Israel and their children, right? After miracle, Joshua goes into action to preserve the memory of the day. You know, when they crossed the Jordan, Joshua did not, okay, give me a high five. Yeah, we're here. You know, it's not that. When he said, okay, the Bible said he carried. He picked up stone, and maybe he's the one who built the memorial there, right in the middle of the ocean, right in the middle of the river. Because he knows that even though the water is high, when the water comes down, people will see it. and people will, it will initiate conversation about God. In verse 6 and then verse 21, God's instruction include an example of children asking their parents about those formation of stone and how the parents should take the time to explain what happened and what it teaches us about God and what it means for the people of Israel. The memorial was not only to remember, but a chance for the older generation to teach and remind the younger generation and others about God. Amen. When we question how our youth perceive God, we must question how we adults show to them who God is. Amen. Right? We should question ourselves, because our children only learn things on what they hear and what they see. This is not just something that is good to do. Oh, remember God, that's good for you. No, that's not just good to you. It's essential for survival as an individual and as a nation. This is something very important for them to do. This is something that needs to be done if the whole nations want to see God's blessing in every generation. This is the key to the future of Israel. And I can tell you this much, the answer for America is not Donald Trump. The answer for America is not the liberals or the conservative. The answer for America is to remember where they came from and who established us and who created us and who built us. And that is God. When we forget God, it doesn't matter what we accomplish. It doesn't matter how much freedom we say we have. We are bound by sin and we will suffer the consequences. It doesn't matter what title you want. You can be blue, you can be red, you can be Democrats, and you can be Republicans, and you can be liberals and conservatives. It doesn't matter. What matters is the way we live our life. It doesn't matter if we accomplish great things. What matters is, does God remain within our midst? And that is why God wants Israel to remember. Don't forget God. Remember that He was in the midst of you. When you cross the river, He is in front of you. He is there, right in the middle of the river, while all of you are crossing. Because you are in need of God, and your survival depended on Him. Can a person, or even a Christian, forget God? Now, if we really believe in God, and God has done great things for us, is it possible to forget God and live our lives as if like God does not exist at all? Is that possible? How do we forget God? And how can we avoid forgetting God? Well, let me speak about our forgetful nature. Right? You know, part of the things we do every day that we do not need to really plan is to forget things. Right? You don't need to plan that. You know, oh, this morning I'm going to forget to go to work. You don't need that. Oh, this morning I'm going to forget to say I love you to my wife. You don't have to. You will forget stuff. You will forget things. And, you know, whenever we, you know, we love traveling, right, with our big Suburban. Whenever we travel, okay, let's go. And then we were in the freeway. I know we forget something. I know it. We just don't know it, but later on we will figure it out. I'm driving. Oh, I know we forget something. We'll just figure it out. Well, we're like 30 miles away from the house. Oh, man, we forget. It doesn't matter. You have a long list. You always forget something. Forgetful is something that we do without planning. We forget because we got distracted by our own busyness. Our full attention got focused on something else, and we forgot something we need to do at the moment. Now, some of you can even, you know, sometimes we simply are not paying attention, right? Like sitting in a church and you started wondering, right? Your mind start wondering to the bowling that we're going to do later on the things, oh, where am I going to pick up my kids? Or where are we going to go eat my lunch? Oh man, I was here sitting, I was listening to Pastor June's sermon. You forget that you're in the church while you are in the church. And listening to them. Very forgetful is very natural for us. Sometimes We forget because we need to remember that He is not important anymore. You know, sometimes we forget because we need to forget, right? And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. Sometimes we forget because we are panicking, right? We're panicking, you know. You don't want me to give an example on that. And it's really scared. When we're scared, we kind of forget the basic. You know, we kind of panic and we do things that are funny and sometimes dangerous. Sad to say, forgetfulness can be also be intentional. Like again, sometimes for good and sometimes not very good. Now the Bible, you will be surprised, even though this is not being preached a lot of times, the Bible has many warnings about forgetting God. A lot. Google it. You can say forgetting God, you'll see a lot of them, especially in the Old Testament. And there's a lot of verses, it seems like the New Testament, this seems like when they are writing, one of their goal is to remind the people not to forget. That's why I will cover one passage, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, 10 to 11, and 17 to 18. And this is something that God told Israel before they crossed Jordan River. He said, when you have eaten your fill, that means when you cross the river, okay, and you enjoy the promised land, and I give the promised land to you, and you are settled down. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey His commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. He did all of this. If you go back to the passage verses, it says, taking care of them from the Egypt to the wilderness to the promised land. God took care of you from Egypt, going to the wilderness for 40 years, crossing the river, destroying, conquering your enemies, and settling you down to the promised land. God did that all for you. Said, God did that all for you, so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Well, because it's very easy, right? Because they're the one who trained to fight, right? They are the one who goes there and fight and the enemy. So, hey, oh my God. You know, so I just read in the Reddit the other day. It's kind of like insulting when you praise God on the accomplishment of people because they're the one who accomplish it. I'm not even going to argue with them. I don't have time to argue with them. But God said, so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Amen. Right? I can end now. And that is a good lesson. We will always remember that and plant it in our heart. We will always be thankful. You know, I meant this. God has given me more than what I deserve. Really. If I will compare myself to my neighbors, probably I'll be jealous because all of them probably own their houses. I don't. You know what I'm saying? If I will compare myself to people with my cars, Jonathan got a brand new car, but I got the old car. I'll be jealous because they have nice cars now. But I know better, right? We know better. We deserve more than what we deserve. What does it mean to forget God? From our passage, it means when we do things without even thinking if it matters to God or not, right? You can still go to church. Really, you can still go to church, have a sticker on your car, and have praise the Lord in your Facebook background. But you can forget God. When you do things in your life and you don't even it doesn't even concern you whether it matters to God or not, then you forget God, right? When God doesn't matter, then you do not concern yourself about what God thinks and what God feels. What matters only if you will benefit, right? But do we cheat on our tax? You don't even think if it's, well, everybody's doing it. We'll cheat a little bit. I'll give 10% or 12% to the church. You know, when you do things and your guide and your control factor is your benefit. Will it benefit me? If it will make you feel good, does it make me feel good? I know God told me to forgive, but I think it's good sometimes to look at that lady and give him a big snap, you know, like whatever, you know, just to get even. Even though God tells you to love your enemy, right? We do things because it feels good, and you can get away with it. Right? Oh, you know, I'm faithful to my wife. Oh, why? Because he's going to beat you up, right? You're just scared. No, you're just scared. But actually, if you can get away with it, probably you're going to have more girlfriends. Sometimes we do things because it benefits us, because it feels good, and because we can get away with it. You will not do it because of the risk, but not because you are thinking of what God feels about it. Also, we are forgetting God, when down deep in our heart, you do not think you need God in your life all the time, right? Well, of course, do you need God? Yes, Pastor, I need God. I need God when I have problems, right? I need God when my kids are not listening to me and they are in trouble. I need God when I'm sick. But do you really need God all the time? Do you really need God all the time? Maybe just in case of emergency, but not every day. Can you imagine you need God all the time? What kind of foolishness is that? Why do we need God every day? It's just like, do you want your mom watching you every day? No. That's why you want, mom, can I have my own bedroom with my own padlock? Don't go into my room. You know, we want your own privacy. We don't want God. We don't want God to be with us all the time. So we are forgetting God. When down deep in our heart, you do not think you need God in your life all the time. Amen? We need God all the time. We need God all the time. Because like I told you last week, on that very time we think we don't need God, that is the time we really need Him. Maybe just in case of emergency, but not every day. You feel like going to church once in a while would be enough to keep God handy just in case of emergency. When you really ask people, not in Pacific Lighthouse, okay, but some other people from the other church, if you ask them, why do you go to church? Oh, because I want God. I love God. Yeah, but what do you mean by that? Oh, just in case I get into trouble, I can pray to God. God is always there. Just like a fire, you remember I told you, just like a fire extinguisher, right? You don't go to your fire extinguisher every day and wipe it out. Oh, good morning, fire extinguisher. You just leave it there. You buy it. You just make sure it's there. And then when you need it, it's there. That's the same thing we treat God. We don't really think. We don't want God's opinion what kind of movie we need to watch. It can be something that you discipline yourself to do every day. It's something that you discipline. You know, it's just like you discipline yourself to watch Kingdom or the soap opera. You know, you discipline yourself to watch a movie. Every afternoon at 5 o'clock, I will watch an anime, you know, for 1 hour. You discipline yourself to do that. What do you discipline yourself to? To remind you of God. Maybe you decide to read 5 minutes of Bible every day. Do you do that? Do you have a reminder of God? Maybe a quiet moment when you pray every day or read a Christian book. Maybe say, every month I will read one book, a Christian book, about holiness. You know what I'm saying? Something that will remind you. Do you make an effort to remind you every day that God is with you and He loves you, so He is mindful and care very much of what you do. Do you remind that? So we need to have a reminder. Second thing, we need to have fellowship. The easiest way to forget God is to separate yourself from other Christians.
That's the easiest way to forget God. I tried that. Now, I don't even want to say try that because you will forget God. The easiest way to forget God is to separate yourself from other people. That is the reason the early believers understood that being an active member of a local church is one of the aspects that define what it means to be a Christian. That's why in the Bible, there is no command to say, join a local church. It's like there is no command, go eat your breakfast. Go eat everything. There's no command like that. Every Christian should become an active, committed member of a church. It is hard to forget God when you make it a habit to spend time with people who talk and do things for God, right? And the last one that will help us about God is something that I cannot teach you. You need to recognize that you're sick. Awareness. This is something that I cannot teach you, but something that you must really believe. You must acknowledge your need of God all the time and the danger of forgetting Him. This is like your own spiritual alarm. You know, alarm clock? You know, you need an alarm clock. You can sense something missing when you did not pray for a while. Do you know that? You know what I'm talking about? When you did not pray, the whole day you were so busy, and at night you lie down and you forget. Oh man, I forgot to pray. But I have an alarm clock. I can sense when I'm forgetting what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. You can sense when there's something you did not pray for a while, and you can feel the sense of emptiness when you did not hear or read the Bible for a while. I remember that when I was in college. If I don't read the Bible, something is awkward. Something is not balanced, as if like I didn't drink my V8. Something is not balanced with me. You know, I will just, when that happens, I will just grab the Bible and open it anywhere and read it. As a Christian, there is that sense that you are aware that God is not there because He is always with you and you always experience His presence. Every Christian should have that awareness. Do you have that spiritual awareness that keeps you aware of God's presence? You have to ask yourself, how can you say that you love God more than anything in this world and you cannot think of Him one day and you didn't even know? How is that possible if you are a genuine Christian? Let me close by repeating Deuteronomy 8:11. But that time is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey His commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving. We live our life with God, and that is the best life.